Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today we have Mary Galloway with several letters after her name, but just a dynamite conversationalist. I'm laughing still from talking to her before, and we had to settle down just to get the intro done. But welcome today, Mary. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. You know, it's kind of gloomy here in Las Vegas right now, but hey, this will be the fun part of my day.
Gloomy, and you said they closed all work, but they haven't closed the liquor stores, so...
Yes, I believe everything starts to step down around 12 today,
Yeah,
I gotta get out there before they shut down everything and stock up on a few things.
Yeah, this will air a little bit later, but this is the right into the corona, the COVID-19...
Yeah,
scare here. We're in the midst of it. I'm all locked up in the studio here, not letting anybody in, and doing all these online.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, anyway, Mary, quite a impressive resume. I'm looking at your LinkedIn page, and we were talking about some of the letters after your name, the CNED, which is Certified Nonprofit Executive Director. MSIS. I don't know that one either.
That's my master's from ages
Information
ago.
Security. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. CISSP, GWAC, GIAC, which is.
So web app pen testing from SANS.
Okay, from SANS.
I've got a penetration tester.
CEH.
Yep, I've got incident handler from SANS, GMON, which is their certified monitoring. So it's like looking at logs and using SIMs to like identify stuff.
The girl's got skills is what we're saying here.
Basically, there's all of them aren't even listed.
Yeah, I'm getting that picture. And the funny thing is she works for casino. Because we can't say any names.
Yes.
But definitely has the Las Vegas party thing going on.
Not right now.
Not right now. No.
No. I see too many folks like really scared. They're just like, oh, I got to get home. And apparently the airport last week was super empty, which is not normal for Las Vegas. Because obviously conferences and people come here for weddings and parties and everything. And so it's been an interesting time in Vegas right now. Hopefully they figure out what's going on and like they find a cure or a treatment or something to help everybody that's got this thing.
And everybody gets it and we're done with it, right? Something like that.
Or that too. We become immune to it at some point.
Well, I guess the people that don't make it won't be happy with that, but we'll see how it plays out here. We're still in the midst of it and a lot of uncertainty. But the casino, we'll talk about that. But the other thing as well, Women's Society of Cyber Jitsu, right?
Yes. Yes. Good job.
All right. So this is interesting. And you were a recipient of ISC Squared Diversity Award 2019, the first one, right?
Yes. So, I was surprised.
Surprised. I'm not surprised just talking to you. You have that dynamic personality. But tell us about the Women's Society for Cyber Jitsu.
So we are a 501c3 national nonprofit. We've got members across the country and in other countries as well. We do hands-on training for women and girls in cybersecurity and STEM. So our bread and butter is getting technical hands-on training. We want to be able to send women into job interviews, into their roles, into wherever they're trying to go with hands-on experience and be able to say, hey, I know how to you know, reverse engineer malware, or I know how to do XYZ. We provide a community for the women. It includes women, men, you know, people that identify as non-binary, whatever, to come in and be a part of the Cyber Jitsu tribe in the community, because we know it's important to have everyone involved in bringing more women and minorities into cybersecurity and tech.
All right. So hold there. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. We're going to talk some more about that.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking to Mary Galloway, and we were talking about Women's Society of Cyber Jitsu and giving real skills.
Yes. We also like to do, we're volunteer run. So all of us are volunteers at every single level. Mm-hmm. And so that's also a way for our women to get experience in leadership, stuff to help their resume. We have a lot of folks that come in that don't really have a lot of experience. And so they're looking for ways to get that experience. And so through our volunteer program, they get that. We have women that are kind of mid-career looking to figure out, okay, do I want to go technical still or more managerial? Mm-hmm. And so we try to help them navigate those waters with our career conversations webinars and our day in the life webinar series. And then for our more advanced women, we do informal mentorship. It's not a full mentorship program, but we try to do an informal where we have networking events, we meet up at conferences, and you can talk to seasoned veterans, people that are transitioning from finance or accounting into cybersecurity, and kind of get, you know, a wide range of tips and tricks on how to navigate this industry. On the girls side, we do Cyber Jitsu Girls Academy. It's for middle school and high school girls. And we teach them STEM topics. So right now it's in Northern Virginia and in North Carolina. And so they learn the anatomy of a computer. They go to wearable tech. They learn how to do build robotics and like program them. They learn how to use makey makeys to make music or noodles or whatever, play music, you know, do games, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just giving them exposure to technology that they may not have exposure to.
So you said North Carolina, Virginia, you're in Vegas.
I'm in Vegas.
How
does that
did
work?
You start it? Are you from the other side of the country?
So, I'm from Northern Virginia. We got our start in Northern Virginia. Okay. Lisa, Judy's my founder, that's where she's from. And so most of our stuff happens there. We do have chapters in other locations. So we have a chapter here in Vegas. We have one in SoCal, Florida, Atlanta, East Carolina. The good thing about our stuff is that you can do it remote. So the majority of our workshops, you can do them remotely. You can be anywhere in the world and participate. And then we record them for later viewing for our members to see them if they were to miss it or if they need to come back and review stuff. But we have a really good team in Virginia managing the chapter there and the Girls Academy there.
Interesting. And how many schools are you in? You said you're in high schools or middle schools, right?
So we don't go into the schools per se. We actually just host these workshops on the weekends during the school year. So we're using Virginia Tech right now for the Girls Academy. We've used George Mason in the past for the Cyber Patriots training program. We've used Northern Virginia Community College out there. In North Carolina, we've used Campbell University. And so we partner with colleges to allow us to use their space. And it gives the girls an opportunity to see a college campus and potentially see college students and like ask them questions about, you know, what they're doing in college and kind of get that college feel. So that's kind of a cool, you know, two for one.
Yeah. And we just canceled it because of the virus scare, right? But they had a it was supposed to be in June, a Women in Cybersecurity event going on here in Denver. And they had like 1,500 people that signed up. They had pretty much maxed out the venue they had picked, and they couldn't even bring anybody else in. There's a craze going on in this. Tell me what it is that's happening there. And, you know, traditionally, there's mostly men in this industry. And, you know, I've been in it for 20 years, and I'm glad to see the fair sex coming in. But tell me, what is kind of spurring this? Is it an interest, or is it just, you know, in doing the work, or is it just like, hey, I want a high-paying career? What's your thoughts?
Honestly, there's a lot of interest. We get a lot of our members participate in the WISIS conference, and they're eager to learn. Mm-hmm. They want to, you know, take on the challenge of figuring out what's wrong, how to fit with computers for a long time. For those that are career changers, they feel like, you know, their career has gotten stagnant. It's like, okay, I want to do something different. They enjoy, you know, they went to a CTF, you know, a Capture the Flag event, and they're like, oh my God, I love doing this. I want to do this as my job. Mm-hmm. And so they see the fun, they see the dynamic environments that you're in when you're in, you know, a cybersecurity office. And then the pay doesn't hurt, right? Mm-hmm. They say, as, you know, analysts, you can come in making, you know, buku dollars depending on where you're living. And, you know, for some, if you're a first generation college graduate, that's appealing to you. And so I think all of those factors together is what drives this. So we started our organization in 2012. Uh-huh. And Lisa is a bona fide hacker. The hacker group she was in, they kind of disappeared. They stopped moving on, or they did something. And so she was like, let me just start this. And she didn't realize how many women were interested in pen testing and like learning about Backtrack and, you know, getting hands on. And so there's definitely an interest to get into this industry by women across different levels, across the board, you know, all the way down from the 18-year-olds to the 67-year-olds. They want to get in. They want to do this stuff.
Yeah, I taught some criminal justice classes, and I had a lot of women coming in from the CSI type shows. Mm-hmm. Had seen and interested and said, yeah, I want to do that. And forensics was a big interest. You know, how do we track down things and everything? And then from there, pen testing. You see a lot of that is kind of the media that's glorified this maybe a little bit the last couple of years, and it's causing this interest level?
I think potentially in the last few years it kind of helps. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those shows are just, they do a really bad job of, they need to have better advisors on there. but, you know, I watched CSI Cyber and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then they showed the malware in red and I was like, that's totally not how that works. But okay. I think the media plays a part. Obviously the media plays a part in everything. But I think too, women are just, we think about stuff differently. And it's not just the technical side, right? People think that, oh, there's only forensics and pen testing in cyber. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other places you can go that don't even involve that. And there's a place for everybody here. And I think that's also what's appealing to the industry, right? There's a lot of moms that work in cyber. They can work remotely. That's appealing to them. That helps them be able to take care of their kids when they need to and still work and make an impact on whatever it is they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, this change here because of the virus, everything's going virtual. It was nothing. Yeah. We just said, okay, we won't have anybody in person. For years, we've been virtual in person. You decide where you want to be. Everybody just shifted to we're not here, you know?
Exactly. But for some companies, that's hard because they weren't set up to make that shift because they didn't really, I think they don't value remote workers, right? Because they feel like, I know a lot of companies feel like if you're at home working, then you're not actually working. But a lot of folks can actually work better at home because they can take those needed breaks. They can, you know, they can dive into when they need to. They don't have the distractions of, you know, the office chatter, the water cooler talk, all of that stuff. And so you're actually more productive if you're able to work from home.
And I've seen there's kind of two personality types there. There's people who are very productive at home.
Right.
There's some people that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have stuff for you at the office.
Wear your mask. Come on in.
Yeah, that type of thing. Well, we're going to take a break here from our sponsors, but we're going to come back and talk about more things you have going on, events coming up for the Women's Society of Cyber Jitsu. But also, we want to talk about how that casino work and you know, give some insight on what you might see from that line of work in cybersecurity. We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today we're talking to Mary Galloway, and we were having a lively conversation about the Women's Society of Cyber Jitsu and all the things that she has going on for young girls and the spread of it, and just why in general. You know, me, I'm curious because I don't know. We've been trying for years to get, you know, not just 99% male in this industry, and all of a sudden it's exploding, and we're like, we didn't do anything. Something else happened. So I'm curious as to what it was. That's why I asked that. I remember seeing conferences for years with the same 50 people for 5 years. You see in every conference, and they were all men, and they all sat 20 chairs away from each other in a big auditorium. And it was just like, all right, if we want to talk, we'll have to force everybody into a small hallway or something. But times are changing, and I think it's becoming more of a socially acceptable vocation that, you know, protection is not just somebody sitting in a basement pounding on a keyboard. It actually now is a social aspect of it in your groups, your organizations. I think that's a big change to it. It's the appeal is there now in a different direction.
Yeah, it definitely helps to make it to have the appeal of this actually isn't a bad thing to go into. This actually isn't what it typically looks like in the industry. Not anymore, right? But think about it. Back during the wars, women were running all of the technology. You know what I'm saying? So this isn't a new concept, right? We've been doing this forever and ever. You saw the movie Hidden Figures.
I love that movie.
A bunch of women that were learning those systems. They were running that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they've always been in the industry. They've just been in the background. And now we're pushing for them to be in the foreground and to actually want to join the industry. We have girls that say, oh, I don't want to join because, you know, it's not cute, or there's a bunch of guys, or somebody said I wouldn't be good at it. And so we have to change that mindset, that behavior, to say, no, if you want to do this, you can be good at it and still do it. Mm-hmm. And it can still be, you know, sexy. You don't have to wear the khakis and the polo shirt or the hoodies. You can wear heels and a skirt, you know, and have makeup and do your hair and do all of that stuff and still be a technical person in cybersecurity.
And if there's a bunch of guys, it might not be a bad thing, right?
Right, exactly. you can be yourself in this industry.
Yeah.
Because behind the keyboard, nobody cares what you look like. They just care about what can you do and how can you protect my environment. That's the important part.
And I like that approach with your organization about helping to train. Here's what you can do, because you know, so a lot of organizations, they test certifications, whatever, take a test, study, but to actually sit and say, here's the skills you're going to need, is a good piece to add, and especially from the beginning, getting them interested in that's a good thing.
And they love it. I get emails all the time like, oh my god, that Wireshark training was so awesome. You know, it helped me do blah blah blah. It's like, oh, or that competition was so great. I'd learned so much. I had never done one before. And those are the kind of stories we like to hear, you know? Definitely. It's making an impact on people.
Yeah. So now the casino work. You're in Vegas there. Yes. Tell us about what types of things you see as the primary issues when you're working with casinos. What are they most concerned about? Money,
it's
obviously.
It's very different from, I came from the government. So my career started out in the government. And our priority was national security. We had to make sure that security of, you know, all of our infrastructure and all of that stuff was at the forefront. In the casino industry, it's about availability, right? Your elevators have to be available. Your HVAC has to be available. Cameras on tables per Nevada gaming regulations have to be all working, right? If one camera goes off, you could potentially have to shut down the entire casino, mm-hmm. which affects revenue, which affects profits, which affects my bonus. You know, so the casino world, the private sector world, our focus is availability and making sure that we're protecting our revenue generator. Next, we obviously have to protect our patron data because we have a lot of folks that come in that give money, you know, and this is all the casinos across the board. And so we have to be able to protect that information, right? If you come and play at our casino, we don't want anybody taking your information or having access to the information and selling it.
Or even knowing you were there in some
case. Or even knowing that you were there, exactly. And so having to protect that is really, really important. You know, before I started working at the casino, when I was doing the research, I didn't realize casinos were a part of critical infrastructure. I was like, what? Really? And thinking about it now, as they shut down the casinos here, and across the country, I know there's a couple of casinos that are in Maryland that are shutting down, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
The casinos are really, they generate a lot of revenue for the state. And this is gonna be an interesting time for everyone because they're not gonna be generating any revenue.
Hmm.
How is that gonna affect, you know, at the end of the year when it's time to do other stuff, how's it gonna affect the states? And it's been an interesting concept. I've learned a lot of new products and tools that are out there. People find out that where I work somehow, because I get 1,000 emails a day from vendors like, hey, let me introduce you to Zoom, or hey, I have this product and I think you should use it. Or I get phone calls constantly. And so from that perspective, it's been cool because I get to see a lot of new products that come out. I get mm-hmm. to experience a lot of different technology for different you know, for SOC operations and for protecting HVAC and for looking at vulnerabilities and, you know, pulling all of this data together. And it's very interesting. I will say that.
Yeah. So for some of us that saw like Ocean's 11, are we, you know, is that our work every day? Are we in that exciting?
No, no, not really. Of course, all the casinos have a surveillance team. And so for them, they're trained to know what to look for when it comes to people trying to count cards or, you know, cheat on those games and whatnot. I'm not privy to any of those skills, but it's not like Ocean's 11. I think we do have some of that same technology,
mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not like Ocean's 11. However, you cannot do an Ocean's 11 or 12 or 13 or whatever in the casinos here, because they definitely track and they definitely see what's going on. They know who to look for mm-hmm. and what behaviors to look for. Honestly, I think that'd be an amazingly cool job to have. Is to work in the surveillance department on mm-hmm. The physical security side.
So they're separate from.
They're separate.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it'd be really cool to work in that side of it, just to kind of see like, okay, what are you guys looking for? And what should I look for when I'm looking at people on tables or at slot machines or mm-hmm. things like that? So it's kind of there's a lot of opportunity in the casino. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas is a little bit smaller as far as cybersecurity goes, but I think there's a lot of opportunities there.
Yeah. For growth. So are the threats? What do they look at as their biggest threats? Is it internal employees, the risk from customers, or is it external? You know, what's their concerns and their focus?
External, mostly external. you'd be surprised how many people try to take advantage of casinos. I don't know if you guys heard about this. This was a couple of years ago when I had first moved out here, but one of the casinos, I think it was one of the MGM casinos here, they their aquarium was hacked because it's an IoT aquarium. Mm-hmm. It was in the news and it's on the internet and somebody hacked into their aquarium.
What did they get? What did they accomplish?
I have no idea. I don't think they got anything because I don't believe it was on the corporate network. But the fact that people were just really bored and they went and did that. I mean, think about it. Black Hat DEF CON are here every year. Mm-hmm. The biggest hacker conferences in the world. The threat is external. You know, they're hacking the Wi-Fi in the buildings. They're hacking everything. And I mean, if you really take the time to do it, you could definitely get into some stuff that you probably don't need to have access to. Mm-hmm. You know, but the threats I think across the board are going to be the same. So external threats, the same as with the government. We're looking at external threats. Do we think about internal, you know, the insider threat? Yeah, but I think the focus across the industry here is who can get into us from outside.
Yeah, I think one of the big in criminal justice that they study is a case a couple of years ago where somebody from external hacked into a machine and just turned on the win button, so they made it pay out more. Oh. So even though they did, and they had a hard time prosecuting them because they didn't take any money, they didn't steal anything. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
they just changed the odds.
Yeah,
and but their objective was to make the casino lose money. So what they were right. eventually prosecuted by is a malicious intent, even though there was no theft.
Right, right. Wow. Yeah, that's you have to have some skills to do that.
Yeah, and I could see if they're going into like an aquarium, they're probably just looking to say, they don't even know what it is. They're just
they don't know what it is, right? Yeah, they just saw something on the internet and said, "Let me try to hack into this." But if you can, if you're able to do something like that, what else can you get into? Mm-hmm. That's a little bit more important than, you know, an aquarium or the fish tanks. So that's something to think about.
Yeah. Definitely an interesting line of work after being in the government. Do you think it's more exciting, fun, or is it more routine? And
I think so. I like it more, mm-hmm. just because it's you're looking at different stuff. You're looking at different, you know, technologies, different equipment. When I was at US CERT for a little bit, we were doing network traffic analysis, and we were trying to help secure all of the agencies. Mm-hmm. But we're at the outside of all of their networks. And so it was kind of difficult and it was kind of boring because mm-hmm. we kept seeing the same stuff over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Here it's different, you know, different actors, different motivations. And it's kind of like, maybe I should look into that a little bit more and see what I should be really paying attention to when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah. And I'm sure the people watching is much more fun too.
So I don't get to people watch, unfortunately, unless I'm out on the casino floor. So that part is a lot of fun. I will tell you that people come to Vegas. They get here, that whole what happens here stays here thing. Mm-hmm. True story. True, true, true. Because they lose their mind. They get in the casino spending all their money. I've seen people drop $10,000 at, because we live down the street from a casino, mm-hmm. at the South Point Casino here. And then they win. And it's like, holy crap. And then you see everybody flock to the table and try to win with them, you know, or you see people half naked, literally like walking around in their underwear, pasties, you know, big hats. And it's definitely, people bring their kids to the strip, mm-hmm. and they'll have their kids in strollers at 10 o'clock at night with all of the crazy. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing when you say you're doing video footage. How much protection is taken to conceal that and make sure nobody can run off with it and say, look what I found on a video from Vegas?
You have, well, if it's an employee, you lose your job. So it's very important that you don't have that stuff happen. Well, all of that stuff is heavily protected. You know, we've got the physical security, we've got, you know, everybody having to sign out for stuff and things like that. So we don't really have to worry about any of that. I haven't seen any of that here lately. Mm-hmm. I know our our FBI department here, they have CCTV, so they see the strip, they see everything. But I have not heard of anyone trying to steal that data. Now folks will take with their phone, that's different, but usually employees don't do that. So we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, interesting. Definitely an interesting life. As we kind of wrap up here toward the end of our time, I want to give you the opportunity, anything that you have coming up in the future that you wanted to invite people to, things you need support with the Women's Society of Cyber Jitsu, what type of volunteers you need and where?
Yes. So one thing we're launching today on the 18th, and it'll still be open until the 8th of April, is our Hack-A-Pass CTF competition. Women, anybody can participate. You got to be a member of WSC. And what we're trying to do is get sponsors to help pay for a DEF CON ticket and potentially travel for the winners of that CTF. That's the part of the hands-on thing we like to do. We don't just want you to do an essay and say why you want a ticket. Do this competition. It'll be fun. You know, we'll pick whomever based on the numbers.
And you have these quite often, because I'm thinking anything happening now might be closed down for a while.
Well, we do it once a year for DEF CON,
okay.
Only because we have a team that creates the questions, and so we want to use different questions every time. And so it takes a little bit of time to build those questions. So if DEF CON's not canceled, it'll be for this DEF CON. If it is, we'll transition that over for the next year.
Okay.
And the winners of this year's will be able to participate and go next year. We also have Wicked Six Cyber Games coming up this August during Black Hat DEF CON. Last year was the first year for it. It's cybersecurity meets esports for a cause. It's a really, really amazing event. It's awesome. The college kids come in. Last year, the top three teams, one of them was an all-female team from Florida. They were in the top three. Every team has to have at least one female on it. And they use a gaming platform to do missions that you would do, you know, in the real world. You know, find these vulnerabilities, fix this, turn this botnet off, see what this malware is doing. And we made it into a spectator sport. So we took the traditional gaming CTF type of events, merged it with esports, had shoutcasters. We had it in the HyperX Arena here in Las Vegas. So you got to actually see what they were doing as they were going through trying to get these flags and solve these missions. And so that's August 6th. We're looking for sponsors. Press release should be going out here soon about it. This year, we're adding the option to look at resumes. And you'll be able to get resumes from the students that participated, that were in the qualification round, all that good stuff. And so hopefully Black Hat's not canceled.
Are you looking for things like chapters around the country, different strategic areas?
Yeah, definitely. We are looking for, we're actually looking for volunteers for a leadership team. So the executive leadership team, we need to help manage some of those areas. We're also looking for chapters in any location. If you go to womenscyberjitsu.org/chapters, you should see all of where we have our current chapters and then what it takes to start a chapter. At the national level, we help each location get started, find members if they need help finding members, and help start getting their events going with them. We try to give them a little bit of sponsorship money to help, you know, get some swag, get some things like that to help advertise. But we're always looking for sponsors, always looking for volunteers.
All right. Well, sounds good. And reach out to you at your website to get the process started. So check it out, though, when you get a chance. It's definitely a lot of things going on in this area. And thank you so much for joining today, Mary.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.